All right, church, I'm going to do four reasons why you need to keep standing firm against this vaccine mandate. I haven't done anything on the mandate in a little while, and it's worth revisiting. Okay, four reasons. I've covered a few of these in the past here and there, but I don't know if I've ever put them all together. Four reasons why you need to keep standing up against this vaccine mandate, whether you are vaccinated or not. All right, that's what we'll look at. One, first reason I would go to straight out of the Bible. Every pastor I've talked to who believes in giving vaccine exemptions, all of us always point to Romans 14 as one of our primary texts. All right, it is a clear one. It's an obvious one. You don't even have to get into the weeds about how the vaccines are made and all this. Those are core issues. We'll get to those. But look, Romans 14, verse 23, whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats. It's talking about food, but it's a principle. Whoever has doubts is condemned if he eats because his eating is not from faith. For whatever does not proceed from faith is sin. All right, so if you have doubts about this thing, if you have moral doubts, moral dubious doubts. Moral could be you think something about the whole thing is morally wrong, or moral could be you think it might be wrong for you personally to do in terms of stewardship of your body that God has given you or whatever. You have doubts. That's the point. He doesn't get into which doubts are good and which doubts are bad. In fact, the whole chapter 14 says quit arguing with each other. You have doubts, good for you. He actually says be strong in your opinion. And don't budge on it. You have doubts, then you're condemned if you do it. Okay, because then you're not doing it from faith. Whatever is not from faith is sin, is how that verse ends. If it's not from faith, it's sin. So ask yourself this. Am I getting vaccinated by faith in Christ alone? If the answer is yes, then go ahead and do it. If the answer is no, then do not do it. It would be sin. Okay? If the answer is yes, I am getting vaccinated by faith in Christ. This is the most faith-filled thing I can do right now. Trusting in Christ, I'm going to go get vaccinated. Then it would be sin not to. But if you say, you know what, my faith has some serious issues with this thing. It's not your boss's business or the president's business or OSHA's business or anybody else's business why your faith has serious doubts with it. That is not their right to get into. In fact, read the whole chapter 14. It says this repeatedly. We're not here to judge other people based on their faith. Your faith is accountable to God. You are accountable to God for how you live by faith. So if you get vaccinated because you're afraid of losing your job, then you're not doing it by faith, and that would be sin. So the Bible would forbid you from doing that. Okay? Holding a mandate over you, a job mandate over you as leverage to get you to do it is the opposite of living by faith. So don't do it. Don't budge on that. Okay? If you're getting vaccinated because you're afraid of COVID, because you're afraid of catching COVID, because you're afraid of spreading COVID to somebody else. That is not from faith. That's fear of COVID. Maybe you think it's a reasonable fear. Maybe COVID's a disease. I get it. You get vaccinated by faith in Christ or else it's sin. Or you refuse to get vaccinated by faith in Christ or else it's sin. All other reasons to get vaccinated or not get vaccinated are sin according to the Bible. All right, that's straightforward. That's one reason. One reason to stand firm on this is because you're living by faith. And you have doubts, so you, in order to live by faith, you better not do it if you have doubts about it. All right, second reason, and this one gets, I think, maybe at an even deeper core of things. Whose life are you living? Whose body are you living in? It's a core question. It's an important question. Everybody says, my body, my choice. That's incorrect, all right? That's a slogan stolen from, or taken, rightfully taken from the abortion industry. It's a good slogan, my body, my choice, sure. It's a fine slogan in its own way. It doesn't hold up for the abortion argument because that's not your body. That's a baby. That's a different person's body. It's not your choice to take someone else's body, okay? So a lot of the movement of modern times or of right now says, my body, my choice, you can't force me to get vaccinated. It's a good way of thinking, but it's flawed. And I'll tell you why biblically. Biblically, it's not your body. Biblically, your body belongs to God. You belong to God. God owns your body. Your job is to steward it. Steward means take care of. It means use it for God's glory. Okay? It's not your body. Therefore, it's not your choice. And that brings us back to Romans 14. By faith in Christ, I am to do everything I do with my body for God's glory, for Christ. Now, that's an extremely high calling, right? That's an impossible calling for a sinful person. But that gets to the root of it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Every single thing. It is no longer I who live. I have been crucified with Christ. So it is no longer I who live. The life that I live by faith in Christ. Galatians 2:20 coincides with Romans 14. Whatever's not from faith is sin. Anything you're doing with your life that's not from faith in Christ is sinful. Isn't that shocking? Doesn't that floor you? It absolutely does. But one thing it relates to the vaccine mandate, it would say, no, it's not my choice. I belong to God. And therefore, I'm exempted from some government mandate telling me that as though the government owns my body and can tell me what to do and what not to do. You have to get the vaccine, and you're not allowed to work if you don't. That's somebody else taking over a thing that is devoted to God. A thing that's devoted to God is my body, my life. It's not mine. It's Christ's life lived through me. And so if you're a believer, that's the root, that's the bedrock argument of your entire lifestyle. If you're a believer, it's like, I don't belong to you, OSHA. I don't belong to you, manager at work. I love you because Jesus loves you, and he loves you through me. But I love my neighbor, and I love my enemy. Christ loves my neighbor and my enemy, and he lives in me, so his love comes through me. And so HR manager who wrote up a protocol for me and some lawyer that says you're going to have to enforce it or whatever. Yeah, in the name of Jesus who lives in me, I love you. But he lives in me. He has given me doubts. So I'm condemned if I participate in this because I wouldn't be doing it from faith. I would be giving over the body that God gave me to steward for him. I'd be giving over that body to you to follow your instructions. All just to keep some job or to avoid dying from this particular disease. You're going to die anyway. This vaccine isn't going to save a single life ever because everybody's going to die. Okay? And you're going to be accountable to God when you die. You're accountable to God when you live too, but you might live as though you're not. But you will die and be accountable to God. And God will not say, oh, the government told you to do it, so it must have been right. No, the government does not own your body, period. You don't even own your body. God owns your body. He has ordained how many times you're going to breathe, how many times your heart is going to beat. He has ordained that. And he has given you every heartbeat that you have, you can use for his glory, for his purposes. And that's what you're supposed to do. So it might not be a specific argument against the vaccine, but it is absolutely an argument against the mandate. They have no right to do this because they don't own you. And if you let them own you by going along with it, you are giving over what belongs to God, your life. You're giving over that thing to them. Offer yourself as a living sacrifice. To whom? To God. Okay? Not to government experiments, period. All right, a third reason. I've hit on this before. All the current COVID vaccines are made using aborted babies, made or tested or demonstrated upon aborted, cloned up, dead babies. Okay? That argument works right now, and it's a powerful one. You could simply say, no, I want nothing to do with it because of the immorality that it came from which it came. And as long as the vaccines are made this way, I don't even have to think about it. We're not doing it, period. All right? Now, that argument, they are picking holes in that argument because they realize just how solid it is. And there's two holes they're picking on it. One, they're saying, well, what if we make one that's not using aborted babies? Then what? And my answer would be, well, number one, you still don't own my body, so I still, by faith, am going to make my decisions. But thank you for making a vaccine without killing babies. Thank you. That's great. I would absolutely support that, and I would give it some consideration at that point. Right now, I don't give it any consideration because I don't want any part in that. Okay? So for now, that argument stands. It's a solid Christian argument being made by Christians all over the world. All right? The other thing that they pick in this, though, is that they apparently, and I continuously find out more and more about this, it's shocking, but apparently these aborted dead babies, they're not actual, like, dead baby bodies there in the labs. They clone the cells and they keep them in some... it's immoral from start to finish, but I don't know what mental picture you have. I don't want to give you the false impression that there's actual like dead babies laying on a table somewhere. They there were when they aborted them and they did their initial stuff, but now it's whatever they call them, immortal cells. They're doing some really shady stuff. It's evil, and we want no part of it. But apparently, they have been doing this kind of same process on a lot of just ordinary medicine, and it's really hard to track down which kind of medicine. I had somebody recently tell me that Tums, the little stomach pills, Tums for the tummy, somehow were tested on aborted babies. It's really hard to track down what's actually true and what's not, because it's really easy to spread these rumors. So some of your HR representatives might throw that back at you, and they'll say, "Oh, well, did you ever get vaccinated for this other thing 10 years ago? Did you ever take Tums for the tummy? Did you ever take this pill, a common over-the-counter pill, or did you ever do that? Did you know that those came from aborted babies too?" And the right answer there is, "Wow, no, I didn't know that. But now that I do know, I'm not going to get any more of that." Okay? Now, I use Tums as an example. I have no scientific basis for that. I'm using it as an example because somebody recently told me that Tums was made from these aborted babies. Don't take that, as your pastor said, don't take Tums. I don't know. This is stuff that you have to spend like hours researching just to get to the bottom of what's true. And it's really annoying and frustrating. And I have not had time to do that. I said that about this vaccine 6 months ago, that I hadn't had time to dig into it. If people do, and man, send it my way if you find real solid stuff. All right, but the right answer, they'll pick that hole at you. They'll say, "Oh, well, you know, don't you know everything is tested on that? All the stuff you've always done has been tested on that." And then you say, "Wow, I didn't know that. I'm going to stop now." And then you have to actually stop if you want to be a sincere person, and you should. All right. So that argument is a solid one, but there are some holes that they will try to pick in it, all right? And you need to just understand what's true and stand on what's true. Now, a fourth reason, and this one is just practical here. A fourth reason, it's biblically rooted and very practical. A fourth reason to continue resisting the vaccine mandate is because you're going to win. It's the right thing to do, and it will win. And it is winning. And the first court that has reviewed this has put a stay on it. A stay means you're not allowed to enforce it yet. That's what it means. They're like, "Hey, this doesn't look right at all. You can't do this." And it's going to get appealed, and the courts are going to do their whatever court magic and appeal it back and forth and whatever. What is right and what is wrong are not determined by courts. But courts are part of the governing structure that this world has. And God says that in Romans 13, that the government is here for your good. Now, it's obviously often used for your evil. That just means that they misuse it because they're sinners. But the court system exists for justice. And oftentimes, it works. And it's working so far. So you have that on your side. But even beyond that, the courts can rule the opposite way. Courts get things dead wrong often. It's simple matters of good versus evil. The courts frequently get it wrong, abortion being the most obvious. But hey, for now, if the courts are going to rule for what's right, then great, stick to it. Stick to it. You're going to win. Stick to it also, because if you fight this fight now, your children might not have to fight it. But if you don't fight this fight now, your children will have to fight it. And if you can fight it now in the courts, and I use the word fight because that's the language we use. If we can win this thing in the courts, and we can win this thing legislatively, that means legally, that means through passing laws and things like that. If we can win this fight that way, those are the peaceful ways to do what's right. If we don't fight peacefully, sooner or later, this swamp of evil, it's continuing to push, as you know. It doesn't stop on its own. Evil doesn't stop until somebody good, something good stops it. It won't stop just because it ran out of steam. It will pick up steam. It will get faster and worse. So fight it now. Fight it in the courts. Fight it through your senators and your assemblymen and your congressmen and congresswomen and congress critters or whatever they call themselves now. I shouldn't call them congress critters. I'm sorry. pray for them, right? You get what I'm talking about, though. If we can fight the fight legally and peacefully now, and you can stand up to your HR manager now and say, hey, I'm not going to do this. You might have to fire me, but I'm not going to do it. Most of them won't fire you because you're on the winning side, because there's a high enough percentage of people that if they fire all of them, they're going to go out of business, and they know it. They also know that if they start firing people, the lawsuits are going to go flying, and they're going to lose the lawsuits because it's wrongful. And the only court so far that's looked at this has ruled that it's wrong and you can't do it. So you're on the winning side. And by doing it, maybe this is a fifth reason, maybe it's a subset of the fourth reason, you're going to win. And by winning, you're going to protect the next generation and others. You're protecting others' rights. You're not just doing this for your rights. You're doing this for the sake of others. You're doing it for the coworkers. You're doing it for the other company down the road. Is that everybody there that's not vaccinated, they're too timid, and so they're not willing to say anything, and they're just going to go along and get along. But by one company fighting a fight, all of them can win. By one school district fighting a fight, they just had a ruling yesterday, eliminated the school district masking across Pennsylvania. A couple people fight the fight, everybody wins, all right? And that's a biblical principle, that you're protecting the rights and the lives of the innocent. Because inevitably what happens, freedom that we have right now, we have so much freedom. It doesn't come for free. You're born into it freely. In this country, if you were born in my generation or before or whatever, you were born into freedom and you didn't fight for it. Many of you, of course, enlisted or whatever and did fight for it, but you were born with it. Well, if you give it away now, the next generation will not be born with it. You can give it away peacefully without any gunshots fired, without anything. You can just give away freedom. They will happily take it just if you give it away. But if you want freedom, or the next generation wants freedom, or some generation down the road says, hey, you know what? Freedom's better than all this tyranny, because the tyranny is going to get worse and worse. They're going to have to fight, literally fight, to get it. So you're saving future lives from war if you defend freedom now through peace. That's biblical, and that's true. We know this is true. If you give away your freedom now, if you give away the right to live your life under God now, there will be a generation that grows up without the right to live their life under God. And they, if they want to do it, will have to suffer and be tortured and imprisoned and killed and martyred, or they will have to rise up and take arms and go to war to do it. And nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. We have freedom. We're going to have to keep freedom for the sake of future generations' lives. And we know this is true. Read any time governments start moving towards tyranny, they never give it back for free. You have to keep it while you have it. If you give it away, you're going to have to fight to get it back. Fight, literally fight. It's the only way they ever give this stuff up, all right? Our country right now is still free enough that you can fight illegal battles and win them. But you have to fight them. And if you don't fight them, then somebody else will have to fight an actual battle. All right. Those are four reasons why it is right, morally right, to stick to this. God bless you. Stick to it.